In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And have some interesting things today. First, we are finally going to have the vaping conversation, Mike.
Yeah.
Finally.
It's
not going to be a very long one, but we are going to have the vaping
conversation. We've been putting it off for quite a bit, and we were actually talking about the possibility of just making it a continual running gag and never get to it.
Yeah, but
we would always talk about it and never get to it. But I kind of want to have this conversation as somebody who is a non-vapor who doesn't know enough about it. But before we get to that, real quick, let's get these things out of the way because I want to talk about this. A couple of things, a bit of the news recap.
First of all, I want to add something.
Yes.
Because of my ineptness when it comes to computers and computery type stuff, I think Mike was maybe relying on me to do something that I'm too stupid to do. He was hoping that we discussed in our last podcast that we were going to put some polls up on Twitter and on Facebook for a possible extra podcast discussion if people wanted to hear the extra podcast discussion.
Yeah.
Involving the current political climate stuff. Again, it will be a separate podcast because we typically don't want to talk too much in the way of politics on
right.
this. We want this to be a little bit of a of
to be
escapism.
An offshoot episode kind
this
of
to be
deal,
an offshoot
yeah.
thing talking about real world stuff because you know sometimes you need your art to have real world stuff that we're talking about. Real world. I'm having trouble pronouncing that.
It's tough.
And sometimes you just want it to be escapism. I guess it's personal preference on this. I'm saying this for a reason. I hope the person listening to it gets the reason. She can call me out on it. It's all right.
God.
Anyway, point being, I don't know how to create.
That might be subject matter for later.
Maybe I don't know how to create polls on Facebook or Twitter because I'm dumb. So we will get those polls up eventually. So far, we've had no comments, but we'll get the polls up hopefully within the next day or two.
Yeah,
and we can get the well at least by the time you hear this, they should already be up.
We will. Yeah, they should be up by the time this episode comes up. So keep an eye out.
Apologizing for them not being up initially with the episode. That's just me being technologically inferior in my knowledge.
Yes.
I fully admit to that. I've always been that way. Real quick note before you're going to get into some celebrity news.
Yeah, there's a little bit of celebrity news that happened this last weekend.
I did want to say that for anybody that knows me very well, they know that I have, for the most part, pretty open tastes when it comes to music. I like music from various different genres and whatnot. But there's a couple of bands specifically, a couple of rock bands specifically. It hurts me to even call them rock bands. One that originally came from the area of Florida, which should explain a whole lot about them.
Continue.
Do you know what I'm talking about with the Florida one?
No.
The second band that they did.
This is something he's dropping on me out of nowhere, man. I got a list I'm going by and everything, too.
The second band that the majority of the band was involved in is an awesome band with a really cool lead singer. Just goes to prove that a band can be good if they have a good lead singer and can be crappy if they have a lead singer that sings too deeply and sings about the wrong kind of messages.
Okay. Wait, I'm missing something here.
The second band, Miles Kennedy, is the lead singer.
Oh, so you're giving, band. you're trying to be so alluding. Okay, so you're talking about, what, wait.
I'm talking about Creed.
Creed was in the news? Yeah, no.
No, Creed's not in the news. No,
oh, they're not
I'm just,
in the news.
I'm just saying.
Is Alterbridge in the news?
There are a couple of, no, let me get back. There were a couple of bands that I absolutely cannot stand. Creed is one of them.
Oh, you're just talking about.
Yes, Creed is one of the bands
gotcha.
I can't stand. There's one other band that I can't stand that's from Canada.
You're talking like the new metal area radio rock kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's two bands that just I've never been a fan of. I have constantly railed against these two bands.
Yes.
Creed being one of them. The other one being the Canadian band Nickelback.
Yes.
And my distaste for them is famous.
Okay.
At least among people that hang around me, which means
famous for distaste.
Yes, I don't like them at all.
Okay.
However, this last week, I kind of like Nickelback.
Why? What happened?
I'm not going to say.
What?
I'm just saying, I kind of like Nickelback.
Oh, come on.
If people, it gets a little too political.
Okay.
All I can say is.
I know what they did. You guys could probably look it up. It did end up making the news, and it was friggin' hilarious.
And again, I kind of like Nickelback.
Just look up Nickelback and Twitter. Just Google that.
Yes.
You'll know what happened.
That'll tell you everything you need to
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So on to your information, sir.
Okay. Aloof news. okay. So we, I hate doing this, but
yes.
Hey. you know, this happens.
Dead people?
Dead people. Dead yeah, people. This is the dead people section. We're just going to start calling it the dead people section.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that. I'm okay with that. That, right. that works with my understandings.
Dead things. People this week. Let's see. Ginger Baker passed away at 80 years old.
Which, I mean, it shouldn't, I hate to say it this way, it really shouldn't come as a shock. He has been sick to the point of death for years.
He has been, and he
like
was.
Like a decade at least now, hasn't it been?
He's been sick for a while.
Yeah.
There was a documentary that was done on him back in 2012.
Yes, I saw that
I didn't
one.
Know. Yeah, I didn't know too much. I he mean, was sick I knew back about. Then. Yeah, he was sick then too. I knew about Ginger Baker as a drummer.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was a raging a-hole.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's funny because I, you know, I kind of passed this around and I threw the documentary out there and I learned that kind of stuff about him. And I was like, wow, this guy was a total jerk. But, I mean, he was still a great drummer. I mean, Buddy yeah. Rich was a total jerk.
Yeah.
But it's really one of my friends had said, you know, he's like, yeah, but he was a terrible person. So is it really that sad? And I'm like, but he wasn't that kind of a terrible person.
No,
he wasn't like Kevin Spacey terrible. He wasn't Harvey Weinstein terrible.
Wow.
That's a level of terrible. That's a terrible wow. person. This guy was just a jerk. This was a dude. Okay, the documentary opens up to anybody who hasn't seen it. I can't remember what the name of the documentary is. Just look up a Ginger Baker documentary
yeah.
on YouTube. I know it's available on YouTube, probably on Amazon, Netflix, that kind of stuff.
I don't remember the name of it because it's literally been like 6 or 7 years since I've seen it. I remember only a little bit.
And it came out in 2012. That's about when it happened. The flipping thing opens up with Ginger Baker chasing the documentary maker into his car
yes.
because he just broke his nose and the guy pissed him off saying something. I don't know what it was.
I think I remember this. Yes.
That in itself is a complete understanding of that is showing the type of character Ginger Baker was. Ginger Baker was a guy that didn't know his father very well. His father served in the military, and I believe he died when he was serving World War II.
Just to get an understanding about too much story.
Yeah,
that people watch the documentary. He was the a-hole that might punch you if you pissed him off.
Yeah,
but you didn't have to worry about him touching your kids.
Right.
Okay.
Those are two completely different offshoots.
You threw out Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey, and that's basically within that same realm.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because, he was a terrible person. No, he wasn't really, you wouldn't cross him, you know? You don't want to cross him, you just want to, if you left him alone and you were an all right guy, it wasn't really a big deal. But there were people that rubbed him the wrong way, and he kicked the crap out of him. The reason why Cream only lasted 2 years is because him and Jack Bruce couldn't stand each other. Jack Bruce was in a band previously with him, a jazz band, and he kicked the crap out of Jack Bruce then.
And Jack Bruce was a pretty big personality anyway. I mean, you have Slow Hand standing in the corner like, please don't let anything happen.
Straight up what he's just like, you know what, man, I'm done with this. I gotta get, and it was Eric that quit.
Yeah.
It was Eric that quit and broke the band up.
That being Slow Hand, for anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Eric Clapton.
And if you don't research things.
Yeah, culture yourself, damn it.
Learn more about music than, you know, what's on the top 40.
So anyways, but Ginger Baker was, he was really, really big in
Japan?
He was big.
Sorry, in, joke.
Oh, okay.
Personal joke.
Oh, oh, Spinal Tap?
That wasn't where I was going, but okay, that works too.
So Ginger Baker was really well known as essentially the pioneer for rock and heavy metal drumming. He was the double kick kit. He was super on the downbeat. The guy had groove for days, and he was very straight ahead as a player. And you notice his technical prowess was a lot of people ripped on Ringo. Ringo had groove. Ringo had meter. He did not. He wasn't flashy. Ginger Baker was flashy in all the right spots. And a lot of heavy rock and metal drummers credit Ginger Baker. There was nobody before Ginger Baker that played straight ahead, and he was a jazz drummer that was influenced by major African percussion. And African percussion that turned into heavy metal drumming.
That documentary, wasn't he in Africa, living in Africa during part of the time?
He actually, okay, so get this. He was a jazz drummer that was introduced to African drumming and heroin at the same time.
Not a good combination, kids.
Right. He ended up completely addicted to smack, but he also was he also was introduced to, I believe it was,
sorry, your choice,
a Fela Kuti record is the name of the guy.
Words, your choice of words is really funny to me.
What?
Because like he's addicted to smack, which of course is a is a term for heroin, is a street term for heroin. But like, how does an African drummer hit his drum? He smacks it.
Right.
So sorry, I was just sitting here laughing at that in my brain. Sorry, infantile thought. Go on.
So goofy. So anyways, like he was very influenced by artists like Fela Kuti and a lot of African Afrobeat kind of stuff from Africa, tribal percussion, that kind of stuff, and he incorporated that into his style and became this huge, like he essentially introduced African percussion to rock and roll and to the jazz community too. And nice. He became completely unmatched. He wasn't like, you listen to Ginger Baker and you listen to guys like Ringo Starr, or you listen to Bill Ward, or you listen to John Bonham, and Ginger Baker sounds completely different from all of them. Even Mitch Mitchell, who was the guy that played for the Jimi Hendrix Experience,
yeah.
He was totally not the same. But then, for an example of somebody who is a similar type drummer, Band of Gypsies drummer, Buddy Miles.
Okay.
Buddy Miles?
Don't know who that is.
He was, okay, so Band of Gypsies was the group that was formed by Hendrix after the Experience.
Yeah.
Mitch Mitchell played a little bit in Band of Gypsies, but then he flipped to Buddy Miles, who was the drummer on the Band of Gypsies live album, which was New Year's Eve 1970. Okay. So it wasn't very long, but Buddy Miles, big straight ahead, and he's just very straight ahead beat kind of thing. It was power. It was raw power and raw straight pocket. That's all it was. He didn't do a lot of fills. He was black. He was a black drummer.
Okay.
Ginger Baker, and actually more than one black artist and jazz artist, a black jazz artist gave him, and I'm not going to say the term because it's super, super not cool.
It's an N-word term, isn't
it? It totally is. But he basically said more than one black artist told him he played like he was black. Like, he played like he was a black drummer.
Okay.
Which is not like... Ginger Baker was called Ginger Baker because he was a total ginger redhead.
Yeah.
He's like redhead, super white.
Super white skin.
Yeah. Light skin. Like, doesn't make sense that he would even remotely play like that. And that was why he got famous.
Okay.
But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. And now I'm amused by the fact that his name was Ginger.
Oh.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing.
I can call him that.
Yes, you can. That was his name.
So can you.
That was his name.
Well, and various other reasons.
Okay.
We have to post that video in a link at some point.
Okay.
Just because I love people's reactions to watching it. What's his name? Oh, I'm referencing a music video or a concert performance from an Australian.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
An Australian comedian.
We'll post it.
I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, we'll find it.
It's
really funny.
It is, and it's so much fun to watch the video with people because of the way that he goes about the singing of this beautiful song
It's about gingers, James.
Well, no, it's not about that. It's not. It's about prejudice.
Yeah,
that's what the song is called. It's about prejudice.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that's what the name of the song.
The song is called Prejudice.
Yeah. Oh, it's called Prejudice. Oh, yeah. That's cute. Okay,
but
that makes sense.
It's fun for people to watch.
All
anyway.
Right. Other celebrity stuff. Rip Taylor just recently passed away. I think it was last night.
I wish I had a bucket, and I wish I had confetti.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, but that was he was. Anybody that doesn't know who Rip Taylor was, go watch Wayne's World 2.
Yeah.
And
that's like the best moment.
Yeah.
At least
also,
for our generation with him.
Also, DuckTales the movie. He was the voice of the genie in DuckTales the movie.
Oh, you're right. He was.
Yeah. Watch that one. That's a good one too. That's a good movie.
It's like DuckTales and the Magic Lamp or something, like the Search for the Magic Lamp.
Yeah, something like that.
The Magic Lamp.
But yeah. Great. Right. It was a great DuckTales movie.
He was the voice of the genie. That's hilarious.
He was the voice of the movie. No, he was the voice of the movie. He was the voice of the genie. Boy,
but yeah, howdy. Basically, he's best known for having buckets of confetti to throw around everywhere at concerts and parties and whatnot.
He actually did. He did a segment on Last Week Tonight. I think was what it was. Is there were.
This is the John Oliver show.
This is the John Oliver show. Yeah, on it was. Oh, I remember because. And I'll just say it because of what it was, because it was a great segment. John Oliver was pointing out that Adolf Hitler is being used a lot in Thailand as a cultural icon of sorts. Like there's chicken restaurants with Adolf Hitler's face in like the place of Colonel Sanders and stuff. There's a lot of that weird stuff that's happening. It's just a strange cultural thing.
There's obviously
to use Hitler as a cultural icon
on my face.
Oh, totally. I'll show you the episode, but
I mean,
it's really weird. So basically, what he was saying is that and Hitler is used in he's used on T-shirts, on billboards,
I just want to say something. Why would it be fried chicken if you're going to have Hitler as the mascot for a restaurant? Have it be like.
Don't say it anything.
What?
Don't you what me?
I was going to say something like bratwurst or Wiener Schnitzel, something that's actual German food.
Oh, okay.
Pretzels. I'm just saying. Something that you associate with
German food. I just didn't want you to complete that sentence because it just nothing would be good.
Technically,
like, nothing is good. Even that is odd.
Technically, he was Austrian, but he's known for being involved in the German politics and all of the stuff. And yeah,
right.
But wrong. But at least get your cultural food right. Fried chicken is not German food.
So, anyways. What he had
I'm agreeing with you. It's never right to use him as a mascot, but at least get your food culturally right.
Right. So, but anyways, what they were doing is I believe it's Thailand is where all that's taking place because there's such a disconnection from the rest of general society when it comes to that. So, one of the things that he had proposed was replacing Adolf Hitler with Rip Taylor.
Okay.
Because
he looks more like Colonel Sanders.
He does, but basically using Rip Taylor because he's so much more of a fun person in general, and he's still alive at the time. This was last year. But it was really funny and you see him riffing off on him trying to sell himself as a replacement for Adolf Hitler in Thai pop culture.
Okay, I would have to
absolutely
see this.
Brilliant. I will show it to you when we're off. Yeah, but it's good stuff. But aside from that, let's move on to a much more bright subject and talk about vaping.
I don't know how bright that subject is. Okay, this is a hot button issue personally with me, the whole vaping issue. We're seeing a lot more of it in the news right now with people that have gotten ill, and even some that have died from using vaping devices. And I'm saying it in that way because part of the issue that's happening right now is it's a pretty standard issue that you have when you have niche market things like vaping.
Yeah, and this is like new. Still relatively new to the culture.
Yeah, it's 7-8 years old that vaping has really been a major cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, there's been so many changes in vaping culture in that time period. But the news people don't necessarily have a good understanding of it. There is a lot of science involved in it, more so than people would think. And when the news attempts to report on it,
mm-hmm.
there are broad generalizations that they use and inaccuracies that they use. And then when the government officials get involved with the various things they're doing with the legal bans on certain things, they are also using broad terms and bad science when they're dealing with stuff. Provenly bad science.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is the same type of bad science that your anti-vaxxers use to try to say that vaccines cause autism. Science that's been debunked and disproven by independent scientists. Independent scientists have disproven, for instance, the whole mercury in the vaccines for autism. The one doctor that sent that original study out saying, oh, there's mercury in the vaccines, this is causing autism. multiple other scientists, independent scientists,
right,
who did not have any kind of agenda in the situation, debunked that as, no, the mercury levels are infinitesimally low. You get more from eating a single piece of fish than you get from the vaccines. And they do not cause autism, because, just disclaimer here, we may have an autism episode eventually, because that's kind of something I know a little bit about.
Yeah.
And autism is a genetic condition. Autism is not caused by anything that is an outward influence on the body. It is a genetic condition.
Yeah.
Just like you having red hair and me having brown eyes.
Yeah.
It is a genetic condition.
I understand that completely.
Moving on to the vaping thing.
Yeah.
The politicians and the media like to use any vaping studies that are done by companies and doctors that are connected to tobacco organizations. Now, I'm not trying to sound all conspiracy theory-ish, because it does, but if tobacco organizations are involved in the studies, those studies are going to end up saying the things that they kind of want them to say. Independent studies, specifically independent studies that are done in European countries, typically don't have the same type of funding from large corporations. And as a result, these studies are not trying to fit answers to a certain – or fit data to a certain answer that's already been achieved.
Yeah.
They are open to check out the data to see where the data leads to an answer, if that makes sense.
I think so. Yes, I understand what you're talking about, but you're saying that basically the bias that's happening in this area is kind of like the same thing that happened with like sugar versus fat.
Yes. Okay. Similar to that. Basically, what you come down to is whoever's funding the study typically already knows ahead of time what answer they want.
Right.
They want the study to provide the data to back up their answer.
Right.
Independent studies typically are going to look at the data and then come up with the answer, not have the answer beforehand and try to make the data fit.
Right.
So other countries have done some studies on the vaping. Now, again, it is a relatively new thing. But what's not relatively new are the main chemicals involved in many of the vaping. Now, for the stories that have been in the news recently, almost every single person that has been either hospitalized or died from the effects of vaping products have specifically been using vaping products that are using THC in them. More specifically, these are not store-bought products, the majority of them.
Yeah.
They are products that they have bought on the street. Now,
okay, wait a minute. So these are unregulated, street-made THC vapes.
Well, the wax or juice that they're putting in there to vaporize is THC.
Okay.
It has a THC base, but they have other things added into them. Apparently, vitamin E is one of the most common things that are added into them.
I'm hearing is like the big culprit.
Which, if you vaporize that, can actually do harm to your body.
Right.
And that is known to do harm to your body.
Okay.
But let me explain what a vape system really is. There's multiple versions of it. The most common version you'll see in, say, a gas station or a convenience store is what's known as like a pen style vape, like the Juuls or all those various brands that you can buy for like single use. They are small pen shaped batteries with a tank attached to them and a mouthpiece on the tank.
Okay.
If you are vaping the standard, what's called juice, or the vaping liquid, just the liquid, non-THC, we're talking just the liquids that have the nicotine and the flavoring and all of that in them. What happens in these situations is the juice, we'll call it that from here, this point out, is in the tank.
Okay.
In the tank is some kind of natural fiber or some kind of fiber, something that soaks up the juice that is connected to a metal coil. The battery sends a current of electricity through the metal coil, very similar to how a light bulb works.
Okay.
Okay. When you depress the button to send that through, it sends the electrical current through the coil.
Okay.
Whatever the wicking is that holds the juice in it, that collects the juice, is inserted inside the coil. So as the coil heats up, the juice in the wick vaporizes, very much like how a wick of a candle pulls up the wax to catch on fire. But this doesn't catch on fire.
It just heats it up.
It just heats it up.
And turns it into a vapor or steam.
A vapor or steam, yes.
Okay.
And you inhale this vapor or steam.
Right.
And in the process, you get whatever has been imbued into this liquid.
So you're not setting it on fire.
No, there's no fire actually happening.
You're just heating it up and turning it into a vapor.
If you have a fire, that's typically because you've run out of juice. And then the wicking, like, for instance,
the wick starts to burn.
Cotton is one of the more common things that is used as the wicking material. Okay. If it's not wet, it burns.
Gotcha.
If it's wet, it just vaporizes the stuff.
Right.
Okay. Now, this is just for standard juice. What they use for the THC compounds, sometimes it's a juice, sometimes it's a wax. It is a different component for what basically causes the vaporization at that point.
Okay.
I will admit ignorance on that part. I have only vaped juice out of my vaping stuff. I have never vaped anything that is a THC product, so I don't know exactly how those specifically work.
Okay.
But on many of the smaller pin-style vaping mechanisms,
uh-huh,
like the Juuls or like the other, again, various ones you get at the gas stations or convenience stores.
So you're talking like the major brand stuff, right?
Those things. Some
or is
of them,
that just the mechanism you're talking
that's
about?
Just the, I'm just talking okay. about the mechanism.
Okay.
They have the capability of taking the tank, the cartomizer. That's another name for it, cartomizer.
Okay.
Taking that off of it and putting a different cartomizer on the battery.
Okay.
It twists on, twists off.
Okay.
Okay. The things that people are getting sick on are ones that they buy that are the cartomizers that are filled, again, with unregulated stuff.
Right.
That people are buying on the streets.
Right.
They put them on. They vape them. These things are making them sick because we don't know for sure what's in the things.
Right.
So the reaction of the lawmakers is to go and try to ban as much of the vaping stuff as they can, including specifically trying to ban flavored vaping liquids, flavored e-juice, in the thoughts that this is actually enticing children to take up vaping, which they then say is a gateway to smoking. Now, you and I have had some conversations about whether vaping is a good way to stop smoking cigarettes.
So right.
I use specific words there, stop smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
But vaping, the argument now is the flavored vapes are the gateway for kids to get into smoking in some way and then later get on into smoking cigarettes. There have been studies done that have found that most of the vapes confiscated in high schools, which, yes, there are high school kids that are getting these vape pens, that are using these vape pens. Most of the ones that are confiscated, I believe, was 67%. I will find the study and try to get it posted with this podcast for us, are actually containing THC. They are not the vape liquid that is under attack. And they may or may not be street illegal THC stuff. Because you can't buy you are not supposed to be able to buy these things under the age of, I think it's 21 now. And same as smoking.
Yeah, I think it's 21 to smoke. Yeah, I think vaping is the same deal. So, okay, so let me review here with everything you're telling me.
Okay.
So, and this is stuff that I've caught on the internet too, so I'm kind of putting two and two together. So what's happening is lawmakers, and I'm seeing things like, I'm not sure if it's the Truth Campaign that's doing it.
Yes,
it
could Truth be, Campaign is one
it
of the
ones. It is Truth Campaign.
Truth Campaign, that's the anti-smoking campaign, right?
Yes.
They've had tons of these advertisements out. I see them all the time on TV when I'm watching TV. These
it is Truth.
About,
okay, I wasn't sure if it was Truth because they're just anti-tobacco anything.
I believe so.
All right, so the idea here is that these unrelated vaping deaths to THC vapes.
Yes.
Combined with the fact that vapes are flavored because people like this stuff to taste good because they want to do that. Like, I don't find personally anything wrong with that. So they're blaming flavored vapes as some kind of way to market to kids.
Yes.
And then on top of that, they're also using unregulated THC cartridge vapes that are
street made,
and deaths that seem to be tied to those. I mean, most likely, because that's a lot of people are saying that's the case. I've seen that.
Almost every one of the deaths that have happened has been tied to using
non-regulation vapes,
not non-regulated THC cartridges.
Illegal vapes, essentially, yes. Right? Street sold illegal cartridges.
Yeah.
So the issue here is it sounds like they're taking all of these unrelated things and basically creating a smear campaign against vaping for what? Why?
Well, I
understand Truth because Truth doesn't want to do. Okay,
conspiracy
Truth is who they're
going
to be. They're like PETA when it comes to smoking.
Well, no, there's conspiracy theorists that'll try to say that it's Big Tobacco trying to stop vaping from taking a part of their market. I mean, whatever. If you want to believe in conspiracy theories, go right ahead.
Okay.
I can't honestly say what the reasoning is.
Well, this is moving lawmakers now. This is starting to get serious, isn't it? It is.
It's becoming a serious thing. It's becoming.
And it's just nothing but these
unrelated
prejudices that are coming together about
the. I think a part of it is because of the lack of knowledge. And look, when you and I originally had the conversation about it,
yeah.
You were asking about the juice, the vaping liquid,
yeah.
And asking and calling it by a name that is very much used in the media and by lawmakers. You were calling it tobacco liquid or tobacco something. You were attaching the name tobacco,
yeah,
to the e-liquid. And I had to let you know that
it's nicotine, not tobacco.
There's no tobacco technically in the e-liquid. There are tobacco flavored ones, but even those don't necessarily have tobacco in it. They just have the flavoring.
Okay,
I understand. The actual juice itself, the e-liquid, has nicotine in it.
Right.
But that's
extracted from the tobacco.
Yeah,
right?
That's like saying that. You remember the mints?
It's like saying weed vape instead of THC vape. There's a difference.
Do you remember that I wouldn't know the difference between weed vape and THC vape because I don't have experience with those.
Okay,
but
it's like saying tobacco vape versus nicotine vape. Nicotine is the active chemical. Tobacco is the leaf,
there's no tobacco vape though. Tobacco vape doesn't exist.
No, what I'm saying is it's a misplacement of terms. Well, saying a weed vape is inaccurate. Saying a THC vape is more accurate. Is that not correct?
It may be.
Okay.
Again, I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I don't know what the nomenclature would be used there.
Gotcha.
But here's the example. You remember I used to get penguin mints? Do you remember these penguin mints? I'd buy it at a local supermarket. They were they came in a little tin similar to Altoids.
I think a little
penguin on the front, and they were caffeinated mints?
I think so.
Okay. To say that a product that has nicotine in it, like the e-liquid,
mm-hmm.
is a tobacco product,
mm-hmm.
would be the same as saying that that mint that has caffeine in it
is a coffee mint.
Is either a coffee product or a cola product, because, you know.
Because caffeine is in it, and that's the ingredient that gives you those things.
And that's right. Why... Even though it has nicotine in it, it is not a tobacco product.
That makes sense.
It does not have any tobacco in it.
Right.
Now, the vape liquids, the standard vape liquids that they make,
okay.
contain only a very few number of ingredients. And in fact, many of the vape liquid, if you actually are going to sell vape liquid in your shop, if you're going to mix the liquid and sell it,
right.
there are FDA approved stuff that you have to get to be able to say that you're FDA approved. And there are shops that will list that they're FDA approved for their stuff. The ones that sell... like in bulk to different shops, because shops will have sometimes an actual vape shop. I'm talking about a real vape shop, not your gas station that sells the stuff, but a real vape shop that actually sells multiple styles of tanks, that actually sell actual what are called mods, M-O-D-S mods.
Right.
Those are the actual vaping
you're talking about
machines.
This is the culture around vaping. This
is the true culture that's not just the pick it up at a gas station.
Concentrated to a store, like a smoke shop, kind of.
It's very much like, in fact, you find them connected to many smoke shops, and it's the difference between somebody that...
Smoke shops that sell vape and all that kind of stuff.
An example is the difference between somebody that that says they smoke cigars, but all they buy is Swisher Sweets, and a person that smokes cigars, and all they buy is CAOs. And if you don't know what a CAO is, then you don't know enough about cigars. That's all I can say.
Okay. And I don't. I don't have a damn clue what a CAO is. Yeah.
Just so you know, it's a company that makes various cigars, and almost all of the CAO cigars are 90 and above rated. My favorite is the CAO Brasilia.
Okay.
That's, hands down, one of my favorite cigars.
Cigar smoker, I see.
Occasional cigar smoker, but again, I've learned a little bit about it. I'm not an expert by any means,
right?
But I've learned a little bit about it to
that's good.
Know what to do with it. But as far as the vaping goes, the liquid itself is usually composed of the flavoring,
uh-huh.
whatever's used for the flavoring,
uh-huh.
which I will admit I don't know specifically what they use, what exact type of thing they use for the flavoring. I do know that it is food grade, meaning that it is ingestible.
Oh, really?
And there has, in fact. Everything in an e-liquid is ingestible to an extent. The only thing that you have to worry about is how much of it you ingest.
Makes you throw up?
Yes, before it makes you throw up. And then the nicotine levels of what you ingest. Because here's the other thing. e-liquids have various levels of nicotine in them, mm-hmm. depending upon your nicotine addiction or lack thereof. There's even e-liquid that you can get that has no nicotine in it at all.
Okay, wait a minute. I got a question about this. This actually puts up another point that I've had then.
Yes.
Because I know there were a lot of people that were like, I stopped smoking. I started vaping.
Yes.
Well, I'm like, part of me having the prejudice about it initially was like, well, you're basically still smoking, but you're not.
No.
And the difference between stopping smoking and starting vaping is that you can actually get different vape cartridges with different levels of nicotine.
It's not even cartridges. It's not even cartridges.
So,
if you actually buy the...
I'm not sure if this is a terminology thing, but...
No. Well, there are cartridges that you can get when you're talking about the Juuls or the small vape pens, mm-hmm. but when you're actually in a vape shop dealing with the higher level of vaping, mm-hmm. the more intense, I've bought better products, I'm using the higher stuff.
Right.
You're buying bottles of the juice.
Right.
And you can buy the bottles of you buy the bottle of the juice and your tank is a reusable tank.
Right.
So you can fill your tank with the juice that you buy. And then switch out between juices all in one tank.
Okay.
So you don't have to get new cartridges each time you buy new bottles of juice. You can have 4 or 5 bottles of juice and switch between flavors. You can mix and match flavors.
Huh. Okay.
Give you an example. Hold on. Now, nobody's going to see this here, but this is a bottle of juice. Sir? That is one of my bottles of juice. It is wintergreen flavored.
Uh-huh.
It has 1.5 milligram... by volume of nicotine, which is about the lowest you're going to get in nicotine anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they go to about 12 milligrams of nicotine in most places, which is equivalent to being a regular smoker.
Lord, there are like 3 entire warnings about nicotine on this. It's taking up like 2/3 of the whole label.
Yeah.
I don't know this culture. I don't get I'm not part of that, but good. I get the whole... I think one of them is a Prop 65 warning. The other one is, you know, I know that's the whole, you know.
Yeah.
I get flashbacks to, you know, one of Dennis Leary's.
So many things, warnings on this. You know, but
they could put a skull and a crossbones on the front and call them tumors and people still smoke them.
So, the flavoring, I don't know what it comes down to. But the other things in the e-liquid are the nicotine, whatever your nicotine thing is.
Yeah.
And then 2 chemicals, propylene glycol. Or vegetable glycerin.
Okay.
Okay? Both of these chemicals are food additive chemicals.
Yes.
Both of them are what are called humectants.
Yes.
They keep humidity in to things.
Okay.
They retain humidity.
Which is why propylene glycol is used in antifreeze.
Yes. Which, again, there are many chemicals.
But it also
chemicals.
Tastes sweet, which is why poison a cat with it. So not to say that it's a good thing to do or that anybody should do that,
never.
But people do it.
People do it, but don't do it.
And they're terrible, cruel, cruel-ass people. But and I hate cats.
These are all... He is allergic to them, so that makes him not fun.
Yeah, it's just like a... Yeah, it's but more these, of a, these are a all, biological reaction
these
than
are
a
all
character one.
Edible things. These are all things that we can... We have long-term studies on what propylene glycol and vegetable glycerin do to the body, mm-hmm. and they really don't do anything. In fact, propylene glycol is typically used in any kind of inhaled... medical treatments that you may need.
Right.
It vaporizes things and you inhale it. And the thing about it being a humectant, whatever medication or whatever other thing you put in it as a suspension,
mm-hmm.
it holds onto it in the vapor form.
Okay.
That's why it's used in this purpose.
Right. That makes sense.
Technically you could take, and I only have a small amount left in this bottle because I'm waiting for my order to come in.
Uh-huh.
But you could drink this and it would be perfectly fine.
Okay.
It may not taste the best.
I doubt it.
It would be
it,
perfectly
yeah.
fine. It would taste heavy of wintergreen. That's for sure.
Okay.
But it would not hurt you. You have to ingest large amounts of it to hurt you. The only item in here that could hurt you if you ingested, say, it by itself
mm-hmm.
would be the nicotine. But again, if you were to take pure caffeine in the same way, you would do as much harm to yourself as you would be with the pure nicotine.
Totally.
So is going from smoking to vaping not smoking? Technically, yes, it's not smoking, but it is still continuing the nicotine addiction.
Okay.
But this is how the liquid works. And as far as the flavors go, what lawmakers are trying to do is they're trying to make it so the only flavors that are available are tobacco flavors for people to vape. People like me who got into vaping because we didn't want to get into smoking, because that's the reason I started vaping.
Right.
I felt the need in me to – I have kind of hands that like to do things. I have an oral fixation that I chew on. I used to chew on pencils and pens and all kinds of stuff. I always like to have things that I'm chewing on in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
I had those personal tics, and then I had stress in my life, and I wanted to find a way to be able to deal with those things without having to resort to becoming an addict of smoking or hell, get into any other type of addictions that are even worse.
Totally.
And that's it was around the time that vaping came along that it seemed interesting to me to give that a try. And yes, I smoke cigars occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
I smoke a pipe occasionally. And one of the things I didn't want to do is start smoking my pipe even more regularly.
Right.
Because I knew the health hazards involved with this. So far, what we know of the health hazards of the propylene glycol and the vegetable glycerin,
mm-hmm.
there's almost none on a human body. They've used these chemicals for many years in various things. Again, in food additives, in so many different things that we've
okay.
that we've used these in. And again, as inhaled things for medical purposes, there is no long-term damage done by those two substances. Do we know what long-term damage might be done by the inhaling of the specific flavorants? No, we don't. That is one thing that we still are waiting to find out the true information on.
Okay.
The nicotine itself, here's the part that's the problem. Even with the anti-smoking campaign, nicotine is being labeled as the bad thing because it is the addictive chemical.
Right.
But it's not the cancer-causing chemical.
Tobacco is, isn't it?
Well, the carcinogens that are created from the
yes.
burning of the tobacco is the cause of the cancer.
Okay, so you're talking because something's set on fire and you breathe it, that's what's causing...
That and the chemicals that they put in for cigarettes,
uh-huh.
the chemicals that they put in as... preservative chemicals. When those are burned, those are creating things that are doing damage to your throat and lungs.
Gotcha.
As a result, when you have damaged tissue in your body and it tries to repair itself, mm-hmm. if it doesn't repair itself right, that's when you have cancer.
Okay.
So
okay.
that's
makes
not,
sense.
And that's the problem we're seeing is this is trying to be pushed aside and taken away, and the flavors especially. For those of us who vape flavors, I vape flavors because I didn't want to be smelling like smoke all the time. I didn't
right,
want to be tasting smoke all the time. I had a guy get into my vehicle. Oh gosh, it was 2 weeks ago. Took a vehicle down to get a oil change.
Mm-hmm.
Was vaping on the way there. Guy went in to get the mileage and get everything set up for it. Comes back, he goes, "Man, your car smells like a fair or a carnival or something." I said, "Yeah, I was vaping cotton candy." He's like, "Okay, that makes sense. That makes total sense."
Cool.
But
it's a lot more pleasant than the other stuff. And they're trying to say that they're marketing that to kids.
And they're saying they're marketing to kids. I'm sorry. I'm a 39-year-old fat guy. And I love the fact that I can vape something that tastes like cotton candy. And I'm not shoving cotton candy in my face and worrying about what my sugar levels are going to be at the end of the night because I'm a freaking diabetic.
Yeah, okay.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I get you.
I can get the flavor of those things without necessarily having to have the extra calories and sugar in my body. This is not necessarily marketing towards kids. It's not being put... in supermarket shelves on the
right.
low levels for kids to find. You have to go to a specific shop where, I mean, yeah, they're supposed to ID you, and if they don't, then that's on the shop for not IDing you and not doing their job properly.
Yeah.
But this is something that is not – it's not intentionally being marketed to kids. This is something that's hitting the market it wants to. People that want to be able to have this kind of low-grade enjoyment of life with – something that tastes good, you know?
Yeah.
But it's my feelings on it. I hopefully gave you a little bit of facts on it. I ran a little longer than Mike wanted me to with it. But we'll take a break now. And when we come back, we have another discussion, right?
Yeah.
This one's a little more interesting and a little more topical, at least for us today. All right, we'll be back.
All right. Hey, friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we are back. Hopefully my vaping discussion wasn't too rambling. Anyway... and please feel free, if you have any questions about vaping, feel free to send comments. I would be more than glad to answer whatever I can.
Yeah.
And, hey, maybe we'll even post a picture of me with my, vaping stuff. We'll
yeah.
see.
Well,
So next up, onto this next topic. This is another topic. I think this is an interesting one because I have spent so much time on the podcast talking about these things.
Yeah.
And heck, my hat is an example of it.
Right.
And that being my love of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
How much I love it, how much I enjoy being able to sit and watch the movies over and over and over. They mean so much to me.
Yeah, totally.
Well,
hold on. Before you get to that point, because okay. I do want to kind of open it up with this as well. James and I were having a pretty large, long-winded discussion.
Well, not just you and I.
No, my wife was also involved.
In the discussion.
Let's make
sure we're clear. In the discussion.
In the discussion. It was a discussion. It was not an argument. But
no, it wasn't an argument. It was a very heated
there definitely
and passionate
is,
discussion.
This is one of those... basically, here, this is one of those situations where there was definitely a lot more for each of us to say about this movie than anything else. Now, what we're talking about is Joker just opened up this last weekend. We were actually very passionate about this movie coming out back when we first heard about it. We actually talked about it on the podcast. I think we
I remember mentioning back then that I wasn't necessarily personally overly keen on it. But I'll have to go back.
I remember I being excited,
were,
man.
You were excited. You've always been excited about it. I will admit part of my lack of enthusiasm, I think earlier, was the Joaquin Phoenix of the situation.
Ah,
because I personally didn't necessarily want to see him in the role, but you know, that's a whole different situation at this point.
Yeah, for sure. Now, my wife and I went to go see Joker. We actually just saw it last night. James. Is in the position where he's one of those people that is not—he's not necessarily enthusiastic about wanting to go see the film.
No, not at all.
And this is kind of a—I don't know—it's it did relatively well, but there is a lot of controversy that is around this film.
There is a lot of controversy, and I think I definitely think we mentioning it now is good, and I think we should. We should say this is let's revisit after it's been out the whole week. Let's see what the controversy comes to after the week. Let's see what happens when
I want
to
wait it out
some
and
more reviews back.
Revisit.
But this definitely has connections because there are many people that believe that portions of this movie especially with the cast of Robert De Niro in the role that he's in and certain scenes that happen with Robert De Niro's character almost specifically are reminiscent of an older movie, King of Comedy, isn't that what it is? Last King of Comedy?
It's called The King of Comedy.
King of Comedy.
The name of the film is King of Comedy. The film does, without giving away any spoilers, because this is pretty common knowledge at this point, the film is an homage to the late 70s, early 80s films of Martin Scorsese.
Okay.
That he did. It's got a lot of.
There's some Taxi Driver connection.
Yeah, it's very tonally Taxi Driver. It's very tonally King of Comedy, in that there is a. Essentially, the movie itself has quite a bit of. It has quite a bit of a vibe of dealing with mental health issues.
Yeah.
Not necessarily dealing with it, but more so calling out. A lot of what's going on without getting too deep into it. Basically, there is an issue with the central character where he starts not to recognize the difference between fantasy and reality,
which falls into
King of Comedy.
And Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver as well.
Yeah.
A lot more akin to King of Comedy, but there is
the somewhat violent.
Yeah, there are connections there. It's the somewhat violent... there's the somewhat violent, and I say it is very violent, but it's not glorified violence.
Okay.
It's ugly. And I think that's the point. It's supposed to be ugly violence.
Okay.
Supposed to be jarring.
That's worth discussing further at probably next week's juncture.
Yeah.
But right now that leads into the fact,
but that does come down to, I think I know where you're coming down.
This leads into the fact of, Martin Scorsese having been in the news recently.
Yes.
About his comments about specifically the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And
he was just saying in general comic book movies, but he started really attacking
Marvel
the MCU,
Cinematic
right?
Universe is his thing. In fact, he said this specifically of, this was in an interview in Empire magazine, I believe.
Uh-huh.
He said of the Marvel Cinematic Universe films, I don't see them. I tried, you know, but that's not cinema. Honestly, the closest I can think of them, as well made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I could, I mean, wow. He is specifically going after Marvel because
he's going after the Marvel universe.
The movie that I just saw definitely is not what he said it is.
No, he's going
what
after
he
the
said
Marvel
those
universe.
Marvel movies are in general.
And admittedly, part of our discussion earlier today was the talking about the idea that the Marvel movies, for the most part, are escapism entertainment.
Yes, that was part of the discussion to, we ended to, up getting into. And but to it, call there's them, nothing wrong with that either.
To say that they're not cinema, to say that the only way that it is cinema is to have some deep emotional layer and meaning to it, I think is a little bit...
Does that pull comedy completely out of cinema then? Does that mean any comedy is not cinema?
Unless it conveys emotional psychological experiences.
Does that mean that kids' movies aren't cinema?
Well, I'm sorry, but there is some emotional and psychological experience that you get from...
That's family movies. That pulls movies like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
That takes that out of cinema.
Because, I mean, is there really anything emotional, psychological about that? And this coming from a guy, by the way, whose majority of his movies are based on either gangsters, mobsters, or mob culture, mob mentality. I mean, okay, he's got a few in there like The Aviator, but even still, that's... I mean, he made his name off of Italian Americans dealing with New York, and I get that that's his niche market. That's
like,
where
isn't he an Italian American?
He is an Italian American living in New York from New York. Okay. I get all that, but at the same time, I think it's a very, very kind of stuck up, very, you know.
Yeah, that's not. It's like saying a movie isn't a movie unless it's made in Hollywood.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's not true. Like anybody who wants to create a short film or create a full length feature film, and they decide to film it in Iowa
and do the whole thing outside
of the purview of Hollywood in general, doesn't mean that it's not a movie. It's totally a movie,
and he has the right to his own feelings and opinions. But I mean, so okay, he's had movies like Kundun, which was not movie that took place in India.
Uh huh.
And again, The Aviator. But
I'm not very familiar with a lot of Scorsese's films. I do know some of the early works that he had that he put out. Some of his movies. I've seen Taxi Driver at least.
Some of his movies,
and I've seen portions of Scorsese was The Godfather, right? No,
yeah, yeah. No, that was. Oh God, the winery guy now. Oh God.
Oh, Coppola.
Ford Coppola. Yeah,
the winery guy. Yeah. Okay. So that takes it out because Scorsese was Raging Bull,
Raging Bull, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny because I was going to take what he's talking about. I was going to use one of his, what I thought was one of his films, because let's say The Godfather, real quick, I know it's a misinterpretation.
There's emotional psychological experience.
The horse's head in the bed
is
ridiculously jarring and extremely traumatic, and it's supposed to be like that. That's the point.
Those are okay.
Right.
But, you know.
But is it? But is the Departed violence for the sake of violence, or is it?
Well, the thing about it is, I don't know.
Is it supposed to show like an emotional trauma?
Personally,
like, is that
I feel. I feel what? So what? You can't have heroes. You can't have people that are heroic, that are good people, because like you take a movie like Taxi Driver. Who's the hero in that? Who's the good person in that? You take a movie like Goodfellas. Who's the hero or good person in that?
It's just
redeemable?
A bunch of.
The Departed.
I don't think there's anybody is redeemable.
So is he saying that cinema's no good if there's not anybody that's a redeemable person in it?
I will say there is
some emotional psychological thing involved with the journey of Tony Stark throughout the MCU.
True.
There is some emotion involved in that. A lot of emotion involved in that.
Even seeing the death of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man dusting.
That was just like, oh, man.
Yeah. There's emotional and psychological things. What Thor goes through, and then into Endgame, where he's so depressed about what happens at the end of Infinity War.
Well, let's take it back to 2008. Let's take it back to the first Iron Man, where he realizes that the arms that he's been selling are weapons of war, and now he's stuck in the middle of it. That in itself is enough trauma to see.
What he thought was protecting... his country, like his dad had always done, was being used against this country by the enemies.
Exactly.
And then to find out that it's his company selling him to the enemies because they cared more about profit than about protecting the country, which is why he, which is what he used to rationalize his selling of the weapons in the first place.
Right, exactly.
And how about Iron Man 3, where he goes through PTSD from having everything that happened in... I'm trying to think of the first Avengers movie. Yeah. He's dealing with a hardcore amount of PTSD from that.
Well, there's a lot of crap that you got to deal with. Well, there's let's see, there's the mental trauma from the brainwashing from Winter Soldier. That's another one. And this is stuff I've seen lightly.
Again, the Thor thing. The Thor thing that he comes back in Endgame, and it's the beginning of Endgame.
Civil War isn't doesn't Scarlet Witch like inadvertently blow up a freaking building full of a bunch of innocent people at the beginning of the film?
Yeah,
that's not some kind of an emotional or physical or major trauma.
And then the Sokovia
that she has to deal with
the Sokovia Accords come about, and then there's a falling out between everybody, and then come to find out that Winter Soldier is the one that killed Tony Stark's parents, and so Tony Stark tries to go nuts on Winter Soldier and ends up fighting with Cap at the same time, and you have the iconic fight between them. I mean, again, I go to the development of Thor in Endgame. I keep coming back to that. Mm-hmm. He goes into Fat Thor, Bro Thor.
And he does he lets himself go because he's in a severe trauma and depression.
Then what happens?
It accidentally caused the end of the world.
Then what happens during the time heist? He goes to. Oh God, what's the place? There, his homeworld. My brain is totally not working.
Why am I not? Asgard?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I had to think about it.
My brain was not working. He goes to Asgard, and he happens to show up in Asgard the day his mom is supposed to die. And he sits and talks with his mom. His mom knows that he's from the future, that he's a future version of himself.
Yeah, you can't interrupt what happens.
He tries to tell his mom what's going to happen. She goes, what's meant to happen is what's meant to happen. And he has to leave, knowing his mom is going to die right then.
Wow.
He has to leave, and right before he leaves, they're about to jump back. They've gotten the Infinity Stone that they need. They're about to jump back, and he says, wait a minute. Puts his hand out, waiting for his hammer.
Uh-huh.
And it hits his hand, and he has this moment of, I'm still worthy. And he says it, I'm still worthy. He has that moment of recognition of, even though he's, in his mind, he's completely failed. He's let his body go. He's had all these things. He realizes he's still worthy. And that's when he's able to continue on and take it to the final battle.
Cool.
And it's like, there are emotional moments in this.
Yeah.
There is some development. I'm sorry it's not jaded, messed up, corrupt people doing all the corrupt things and nobody's a good person. And sorry, that's been always my experience with Scorsese's movies. Well,
that makes
sense.
There's
been some clapback.
Oh, I bet.
One of them was kind of humorous. Martin Scorsese saying the MCU is not cinema. Also Martin Scorsese in Shark Tale. Because he did have a speaking role in Shark Tale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's see. James Gunn, director of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies and supposedly the next Suicide Squad movie.
Yes. Is that the Suicide Squad movie? I actually saw a preview for Birds of Prey.
I saw that too. We'll see.
Yeah, part of me really likes where
it's going. There's one thing that makes me happy about that.
Okay.
Ewan McGregor.
He's so good. He's going to be a fantastic Black Mask.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That is a really interesting choice.
If there's anything that's redeeming from that film, it's going to be Ewan McGregor as Black Mask.
Yeah, I think
so. Even if the film sucks, he's going to be so good to watch. Yeah.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead as the Huntress isn't too bad of a choice. I think that's a pretty good choice.
Oh, that's who she is.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, with Ewan McGregor in it, I'm like, this is going to be interesting.
Oh yeah, I'm all there. I haven't seen him in the mask yet because they haven't shown the mask.
They haven't shown the mask.
I think they're not like letting it.
I think that's going to be the reveal on.
You know, he's going to get it melded to his face in the film too.
Let's hope so.
It's got to be. It's got to happen.
This is James Gunn's response. Martin Scorsese is one of my five favorite living filmmakers. I was outraged when people picketed The Last Temptation of Christ without having seen the film. I'm saddened that he's now judging my films in the same way.
Ooh. Damn.
Last Temptation of Christ, by the way, is a really, really, really weird version of the Jesus story.
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen Passion of the Christ more times than I am comfortable having seen it. But The Last Temptation, I've only seen it one time. And all I have to tell you is it's got Harvey Keitel in it. which should freak you out enough.
Okay.
But do you know who plays Jesus in that version?
Willem Dafoe, right?
Yeah. Willem Dafoe as Jesus should tell you everything that you've ever needed to know.
I would totally be down to see that. Yeah.
That's just strange.
I have not seen it. I've heard, I believe I've read a synopsis of it years ago.
Now, James Gunn did add, that said, I will always love Scorsese, be grateful for his contribution to cinema, and can't wait to see The Irishman, which is his new show coming out, which is, guess what it's about? Mobsters. Joss Whedon said,
it is. Oh, wait, that's right. It's a De Niro. Yeah.
Yep. And they used de-aging technology. Thank you, Marvel, for using that so well in all of your movies now that I can now make it able for me to use it. Joss Whedon replied. Joss Whedon, of course, being the originator of Buffy.
Yeah.
And the first two Avengers movies.
Yeah.
And the one who destroyed the Snyder Cut of Justice
No,
League.
I think Warner destroyed the Snyder Cut.
Whatever.
I personally think that was Warner's issue. Warner was the one that caused that problem.
Did you know that he had the Martian Manhunter in there?
He had Manhunter in it? He put Manhunter in it?
Technically, yes.
Where?
General Swanwick.
Uh-huh.
The general that Lois brings the stuff to and has the communications and stuff with.
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to be the Manhunter.
He's supposed to be Manhunter?
He's supposed to be the Manhunter in Snyder's version. That would have been so awesome. Would have been so nice to have a Manhunter.
There's got to be an extra scene in like the
Apparently,
director's cut or
there's
something.
Not, but it would be so nice
That's
to have that.
Stupid.
Anyway, Joss Whedon's response. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to, he's quoting, right?
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to another human being. I first think of James Gunn, how his heart and guts are packed into Guardians of the Galaxy. I revere Marty, and I do see his point, but, well, there's a reason why I'm always angry. And actually, think about it. The first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. You have Groot sacrificing himself, it seems, to protect the Guardians.
That's another one.
And after that's over, you see the moment of, what's his name? Batista's character.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name right now. I'm feeling like an idiot. He reaches over to Rocket and starts to pet Rocket's head. And at first Rocket like flinches away. It's like, what the hell? And then just kind of relaxes into it. And just lets himself get petted.
Aww.
Because he's holding a twig that's left over from Groot. And Aww. it's like there's emotion there. There's connection. Yeah. Drax. His character
Drax,
is Drax.
That's who it is.
There's emotion. There's connection. I mean, I get that it's more fluffy and escapism than Scorsese's attempt at realism.
Right.
But that doesn't invalidate it as cinema. That doesn't invalidate it as art.
No, that's something that I can't. That's something that I can't agree with in general.
I can understand personal preference. I can understand that some people prefer to have more realistic cinema, and some people, like I personally, prefer to have more of an escapism cinema. That is Star Wars is the ultimate escapism cinema.
True. And
I like the fact that Rogue One, for instance, toes the line a little bit with being escapism while still trying to have some realistic feeling to it.
Yeah.
But it's still escapism in the end. It's still a fun afternoon at the cinema. Does it make you think about a few things? Okay. But it's still a fun afternoon to watch.
Yeah, totally.
I think, both are valid. Some are ones I prefer at different times over others. But to completely invalidate the Marvel movies because he doesn't feel that they're emotionally and psychologically deep enough.
Right.
That's, I think it's pretentious of him. I really do.
I can agree with that.
And I think it, especially for a filmmaker that has literally made he's made a multitude of types of movies. I mean, he did a fantastic kids movie, Hugo. Which is a great kids movie. Majority of that movie is CGI backgrounds and everything. It's a really fantastic visual film. But definitely not in the normal flavor of Scorsese, in that there's an actual hero in this show. What's nice about it is it's connected to the old black and white film, the Trip to the Moon black and white film, the old original. It's a French film. Where You know what I'm talking about?
The old black the one where it's, yeah, it's super, super old. I think it's like public domain now. And yeah, it's got all, it's very, it's, yeah, it's a lot of the, strings and puppets and kind of stage performance kind of stuff.
The Smashing Pumpkins video, Tonight is a parody.
Yes.
Yes. That, it actually deals with that movie within the movie Hugo.
Cool.
And the guy who supposedly made that movie. It's a really touching, very kid-like tale. It's so not a typical Martin Scorsese film because there's not a whole bunch of people dying and there's not mobsters and there's not all kinds of gang warfare. And that's the thing is, you're a guy that's known for one type of movie. You may have made some others, but for the most part, you're known for one type of movie.
Yeah.
To criticize a whole other set of movies when you're kind of a three or four note director...
You know that, okay, I can understand that. Well, and what he does with those films, I can understand those types of films not being somebody's cup of tea. What he does with those films and what I've seen of those films, I personally think is fantastic, but I am into those types of films.
Yeah.
Non-escapist, quote-unquote, type films. Is it glorification of those things? No, it's not glorifying. And if you look at it and you think it's glorifying, you're either a dumb teenager or... you don't know what you're looking for when you watch those movies.
We'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
But at the same time, that being said, it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be a, those types of films to me are not, are meant to be as ugly as they are. And
I get that, but that, but again, his,
that doesn't mean that that's the only way to make a movie. That's my point.
And that's, the feeling. The feeling is, well, if it's not gritty and dirty and nasty, then it's not, cinema.
Yeah. That's, it's not art. That's total bull.
And that's, that's disturbing. So my feelings on it, I know Martin, Martin Scorsese doesn't care what we think, but, people enjoy your movies. Realize that even crappy movies like Spice World are still cinema. All right. Thank you all for listening, and we will be talking to you again sometime next week.
Yeah.
So, Mike, where can people be listening to us?
Listen to us at thezenchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. That's our current playlist of podcasts. You'll also check us out at Zenchron on Twitter and on Facebook. You can check our podcasts out on TuneIn, on Spotify, on Apple Podcast, on oh my goodness, there's so many.
I think that's all of them.
Is that what it is?
Did you mention the YouTube?
I have not mentioned the YouTube. Speaking of which, check out our YouTube page. Go to our go to YouTube, search for The Zenial Chronicles, subscribe to our page, hit the bell icon. Actually, our entire archive of all of our podcasts are available on our YouTube page.
So for some reason, you just want to listen to me and Mike talk for freaking hours on end. I think we have at least 3 days worth of us talking at this point.
I might make a giant, 10-hour long supercut.
Don't.
Hey, TXC to sleep by.
We've done enough weeks that we probably have at least a day and a half at this point. A day and a half, I'm sure.
Close to time.
So if you're driving across the country, hey, listen to us for a day and a half. Because it could be fun.
Yeah.
If any mania or insanity results afterwards, it's not our fault. But thank you for listening, and we will hopefully have some interesting things to talk about for you next week. Joker. We will at least have some more discussion about the Joker next week.
Yeah.
Maybe see what has happened in the media with that movie since its release.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.